Welcome to It's My Money presents The Money Exchange with Petrina Dixon, international speaker, certified financial education instructor, and award-winning author.
Hi, it's Petrina, and you are listening to The Money Exchange podcast. The goal of every episode is to bring you relevant money topics and strategies to help empower you to become financially secure. In this episode that we did live at FinCon 21 in Austin, Texas, I sat down with Marcus Garrett. Marcus is a motivational speaker, a number one Amazon Kindle best-selling author of the book Debt Free or Die Trying. In this book and during this episode, he talks about how he had buried himself in $30,000 of debt and dug his way out in only 36 months. He's going to tell you what D-E-B-T debt means. So take a listen. Oh, and by the way, Marcus is also a podcast host, not just a podcast host, but a podcast host of an award-winning podcast. So take a listen. You're going to enjoy this one and make sure you have your pad and pen. All right, we are recording live from the NEFE podcast stage in Austin, Texas. We are at FinCon 21. This is the Money Exchange with Petrina Dixon, and I'm here with my guest, Marcus Garrett. What's up, Marcus?
Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Listen to that voice. Oh, my gosh. We got it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to that voice. And he has his lovely madam here, and she is also getting some video content here live at FinCon 21. So, Marcus, one, I want to start off with something that's non-traditional.
Okay.
And that is, I saw a Twitter post that you put on about debt that is from one of my favorite shows or similar to Law and Order. Like, how did you come up with that concept? Tell them a little bit about that little ad that you did.
Okay.
Because I thought it was clever.
If you're on FinCon, excuse me, actually, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at TheMarcusGarrett. And I did I used to be poor like you until I tried folding my arms. And actually, it was I saw this tweet like a year ago, and I was like, oh, that'd be a super cool video. You know, I favorite tweets and bookmark stuff all the time. And then, like, it just came up on my feed again. I think it came up on Instagram, and I was like, I'm going to make that video. And, like, always, the fiance's there, you know, watching me make these stupid videos around the house. So I just moved around the house and started folding my arms. I'm actually getting people here at FinCon to fold their arms as well. Thanks to Steve Stewart for reminding me about my own social video. So, like, a lot of things that I produce and create all by happenstance and accident. And I think the guy that originally posted it was like an editor for the LA Times or something.
Oh, wow. I thought it was so clever. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the best. So now I jumped right in without telling people who you are. Like, you have a vast background.
Appreciate
you. Are an Amazon number one best-selling author. You are also a podcaster. You also teach people how to get out of debt. And you do that because you have your own story as well.
Correct.
So from any of those angles, tell us about Marcus Garrett or MarcusGarrett.com. Tell us about why you got into the finance space and about the various different platforms that you have.
So stumbled into the personal finance space, but the background story, if we flash back 10 years, is I actually got into $30,000 in debt, and that's what the book is about. It's a debt-free or die trying, how I buried myself $30,000 in debt and dug my way out. I extend the tagline now because, you know, the brand is always evolving. And I did that in 36 months on my way to an 800 FICO. And I graduated college in 2005. So the more I tell this story now, the more dated I get. It used to be like, oh, that was like a few years ago. Now it's like a decade. So that being said, I got myself into $26,000 in debt in one weekend. I graduated college with $9,000 in debt, and I got a consolidation loan, which I didn't even know what a consolidation loan was at the time. They sent me a letter. They're like, we'll consolidate all your debt. And, you know, like everybody else is like, oh, that sounds amazing. One low monthly payment. And they sent me a $10,000 check. I'd never made more than $19,000 at that time working at Office Depot, and I spent it all. I bought a car with rims, put myself $13,000 in debt to buy a car. I bought a flat screen TV for $3,000, which people find the most difficult to believe, because, mind you, this is a 10-year-old story.
Yes.
So flat screen TVs used to be $3,000. Bought a lot of bottles, did a lot of other things. And at the end of the day, I had $26,000 in debt by the end of that weekend. I had an enabling different girlfriend at that time that helped me with the spending. And I ended up telling that story for Debt Free or Die Trying. I wrote that book originally in 2016, and I re-released it in 2020, and that's when it became a number one bestseller on Kindle and personal budgeting.
So now, what you didn't share, you got yourself out of that debt, but you did it in 36 months. Is that correct? So some people like climb up out of debt, but it takes them a long time. How did you do it in 36 months? Because that's actually a pretty quick time frame for still living life while you're digging out of debt and may not be making more than what you just said. So how did you do that?
Well, like I said, I accumulated most of the debt in one weekend. And what happened is I graduated college, and I talked to a lot of college students now, and I thought I was going to come out making six figures. Mm. It was going to be nothing. So I really didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Okay.
And so I sat on it for like 7 years with no plan. I kept saying, oh, I'm going to get out of debt. And I kept like just making proclamations that I was going to get out of a dream. It was only at age 27 when I hit what I call rock bottom in the book, is I was working three jobs and I was struggling to make ends meet because I had no plan. And I was working a 9-to-5. I was making $50,000 at the time. And I was selling phones at AT&T. I was selling iPhones. iPhones had just came out. I was selling iPhone 1s. This is when AT&T.
Wait, 1s?
Yes,
they
iPhone
had like 1s.
This is when AT&T bought out Singular. I was there when AT&T, the conglomerate, took over Singular. I started working for Singular, that being said. And then I was putting computers together at a warehouse for, like, you know, contract work. And I was still struggling to make ends meet. And I got to a point where I had to ask for another consolidation loan. Now, age 27, so 5 years had passed. And I had made really no dent because I had no plan. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being on the call and the guy asking me a number of basic, to me now, questions that I couldn't answer. What's your credit score? What's your total outstanding debt? What's your take-home income? And I could not answer any question other than my first and last name.
Wow.
And I realized at that point, like, when he put me on hold to go do whatever he does, probably laugh with his friends. And I was like, if he doesn't come back with a yes, I have no plan next. And so at that night, rock bottom, he came back and said yes. And I said, I will never put myself in this position again.
Yeah.
And that's when I put a system in place and started writing what would ultimately become the story for Debt Free or Die Trying. I moved to Colorado, Denver, Colorado, to get another job. So I increased my pay by 40%.
And did your monthly expenses decrease by moving from one location to the next?
No, I would say they were probably about stagnant because Denver and Austin, which is another thing I talk about now for as far as cost of living, Denver and Austin are about relative as far as cost of living. So I didn't really get a cost of living decrease. Really what changed is my mindset, and I started to put a system in place. And I tell people, so the system now is a four-step plan. It's a debt acronym, so define the problem. Mm-hmm. I went to annualcreditreport.com, and that was really the first time I even knew how much total debt I had because, you know, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just kept making proclamations. I established a plan. Mm-hmm. So for me, I went to bankrate.com/calculators with an S, which is a tool I use. I tell people I yahooed to find bankrate.com. That, again, I want people to know, like, I've been about this life for very long time.
Y'all, he's dropping gems. So he may be just telling you his story and giving you the acronym, but you need to take note here because he's dropping gems. He gave you two already.
Yeah.
So, all right, go ahead.
And, you know, for those who haven't already, I do have this plan and it is free to download. I'll drop that at the end before we wrap up. Build a budget. So I used a 50-30-20 budget to get out of debt, which is 50 for needs, 30 for wants, and 20 for savings and expenses. Saving and retirement. And I know a lot of people struggle with the needs part, so that's in the plan. And again, I'll drop that at the end. And then it's T, trust the process. So you said it was 36 months, and you're repeating my point, is, you know, 5 years passed with no plan, no dent, working three jobs, and I still didn't do anything to move that debt down. And then when I got focused, I started focusing on raising my income, which is something I talk about a lot now, is not only just lowering your expenses, which is something I did. I saved about $1,500 a month, cutting cable, just doing a lot of reducing my expenses, really lifestyle deflation instead of lifestyle inflation. And the first thing I actually paid off was that car with rims.
How about that?
So it actually, you know, I didn't do any research or like, I lucked into it, but it was a Camry. So I drove that Camry for 180,000 miles. So I drove that car for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I definitely got the value out of that car. And so I was able to reduce my lifestyle expenses, but I really raised my income, focused on a plan for that next 36 months. The only thing I was focused on was debt free or die trying.
Debt free or die trying. Now you talked about the change in where you lived. It didn't change. And then you go into increasing your income. Was that another job? Because you talked about three jobs. Or was that all of the other things that you do that, you know, I guess the term side hustle, that now is your full-blown business? side business, because I know you work a 9-to-5 as well. Right. So is that what it was? Did you work more jobs that paid more, or did you add additional streams that gave you the additional income?
At that time, I had one job, but what I did is I negotiated a salary increase, and that one job made me, I'd say, equal to or more money than all three jobs combined.
Okay, got it.
So before, like I said, I had this 9-to-5 making $50,000, and I had actually just part-time jobs. They weren't even side hustles at that time. And I was making, I hit about $70,000 that year.
Okay.
And I told myself the next job I get to make the justification of the risk I was about to take, I was about to move across not across the country, it's like two states. So I was moving from Texas to Colorado. Okay. I don't want to be dramatic. but I was like, I'm not leaving unless it is worth this amount of money for me to do so. Mm-hmm. And I've shared in other stories that the reason I negotiated my salary wasn't like some informed decision. I actually watched Soul Food.
Oh.
And I learned after the fact that I got the story wrong. So in Soul Food, you know, there's an antagonist, and mm-hmm. he's hired the husband, who also hates him. And he's like, you know, I make $70,000 a year. At least that's what I thought I heard. It actually turns out he said $80,000.
So you shorted yourself $10,000.
I shorted myself $10,000. I talk about this every day now. And I know, because I said $70,000 to my boss, and he hired me so quickly. We're friends now. Uh-huh. To this day, I'm like, I could have got $80,000. I know I could have got $80,000. So now I teach people how to make informed research decisions about their negotiating their salary. But I didn't have any side hustles at that point. I didn't really know what side hustles were. I moved to Denver, got that $70,000 job. And what I did is, because of the type of job I'm in the public sector and I'm an auditor, I know my pay scale and pay bands for the next 25 years. It's right there on, you know, federal public record. I looked at that and I drawed that number down. I did 1% increase, 3% increase, 6% cost of living increase. And I saw the number at the bottom, and it wasn't very big. And I was like, nah, this isn't going to work for me. So it was actually at age 27 when I started putting together all these side hustles. And in 2016, released a book. I believe that same year, it might have been 2013, because I've done three podcasts. This is my third podcast. In 2017, I know for sure we incorporated. So by then, that's when I started introducing various side hustles. So basically what I try to tell people now is to teach children early what you learned late.
Yes.
No offense to the younger people.
Yes, yes. No, say it again, because I say to people I am in that space as well, and I say, I want them to start off differently than I did, because if I knew what I know now back then, oh my goodness. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to go to the title, Debt Free or Die Trying.
Right.
How did you come about with that last piece?
Well, I don't want to say how I came up with the title, because they might try to sue me and get 10%, something like that.
We'll leave it there. Nobody's getting sued on the Money Exchange. We'll leave it there.
I'm not going to give any credit. You know, I'm just going to say, you know, it came to me in a dream.
All right, we'll leave it right there.
That person wants to reach out, they can reach out.
So now you you also have podcasting. So now you've paid off the Camry with rims, and you're debt free, and now you're doing a bunch of other things. Right. One being podcasting. One, I think you have the perfect voice for podcasting. Just want to make sure you know that. So how did you, like, was it that made you go into podcasting? Why podcasting was a route for you?
Hello. I know you're enjoying this episode, but I wanted to take a quick pause to let you know, if you're looking for ways to earn additional money to increase your emergency savings, to go on vacation, or to help one of your children for higher education, you may want to try affiliate marketing. This course is perfect for folks that work 9-to-5. If you're looking for, again, additional streams of income, or students, or stay-at-home moms, or folks that work in the school system, anybody this course is for. So you want to make sure you check it out. It's called the Master Being an Affiliate. So you get your MBA being an affiliate. Go to my website, itsmymoneyjournal.info, and right there on the front page, you can click on Master Being an Affiliate and grab the course. And there's some bonuses there for you as well. I earned over $2,000 in 1 month from affiliate marketing. So you may want to check that out. Some of my receipts are there. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Well, let me speak to that. I actually got into podcasting because I was blogging. So I was doing all these things that, you know, people traditionally now call side hustles and passive income. Like, I was just doing, we didn't have these names for them. It was just something for me to do on the side as a hobby. Got into podcasting because I was writing with a team of writers at SBM. Actually, the founder is here today. He runs Wealth Noir, Damian Peters. And so we took off with another brand. It's like, hey, podcasting. At that time, like I said, I'm just old. Podcasting was coming up. I was like, okay, let's try.
You're old today. Let me tell you, today is my my 51st birthday.
Oh, okay. Oh, today. Congratulations.
Yes, today. So you say old. I know I probably have you by a few years.
Happy birthday.
Don't
happy
date
birthday.
Yourself.
It feels like it. I've been in the game. You know, what Drake said, I've been here for a decade, but I feel like a rookie. And so I was, coming along. So we just went into podcasting because it was the new medium. And honestly, what you're talking about now, I took a year off between the pandemic and everything like that and just the stress of the world and the life and, burning down. And, took an existential, stared at a lot of clouds and tried to figure out what was going on. And I got a business coach. Business coach is actually here today, Sylvia Inks. And two business coaches were like, you need to get your voice back out there. So I was doing Instagram. I was, I'm more comfortable behind the scenes, behind the mic. I got a face for podcasting. I really actually don't like doing video, but it's a means to an end. And one of my business coaches was just like, you need to use it as like a megaphone. Mm. So your voice can be the thing for all the other things that you want to take off. So like I tell people, like I've had this voice since I was 16. Like, it doesn't really mean much
so
to me.
So I'm looking over like at the fiance. Is that what drew you in? Was it the voice? You guys can't hear her, but she has a big smile on her face. I think that helped it.
and what you're saying, it proved to be true. And so now and that's what I tell people is to find, you usually don't realize your own talent because it's naturally occurring to you. I have a friend, I make fun of him all the time, make fun of him right now. He can draw. And he thinks it is so basic. Like if I told him to like draw us right now in about 30 minutes, he could draw us sitting right here having this conversation. Wow. And he thinks he could care less about this talent, And like, find what other people are saying is your talent, your thing that you should be doing out there. Every time somebody sees like, oh, that's a really great job that you did with this. And for me, it was speaking. People were like, oh, you got a really great voice. And I was like, all right. And so I just try to make that the forefront. But I use that as a window. So I'm doing reels. I'm not on TikTok, but I do reels. I do Instagram. And I learned this at a workshop. It's FOCUS. It's another acronym, but it's focus on one course until successful.
Said that one more time. Focus.
Focus on one course until successful.
Nice.
Focus. And so what I started doing, because I used to just get distracted by all the things. So I said, okay, this year I'm going to launch the podcast and I'm going to focus on Instagram. And the podcast is growing in numbers. It's a new brand. So that's been a humbling experience because it's like, oh man, this is new. I was like, I've been doing this for 10 years. So that, you take a year off, people forget you exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was
You're
humbling.
Just good as your last sale, right?
That was humbling. Then I just went to Instagram. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grow Instagram. So I post 3 times a day. So some people are exhausted by the post. I had somebody ask me, he's like, you're producing all of that content? I was like, yo, Instagram is all me. Because I'm like, that's what I was going to grow. I got about 8,000 followers now, which to some people, that's a lot. Sometimes some people, that means nothing. But I started the year at 1,900.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get 10,000 there. And then I'm going to focus on YouTube. And so what I'm trying to do is just build the brand back up. And I'm going to use those as a multiplier, again, to drive them as a megaphone to these other things. So as you asked earlier, I have 4 courses now. They're hosted by Thinkific. I just partnered with Thinkific, actually.
Cool.
And that all started with in 2018. I went to a workshop at Thinkific to learn how to build courses. Here I am at 2021 with 8,000 followers. I'm like, hey guys, I feel like I'm coming up. Can we work together? I reached out to them and they partnered me with the head of partnerships. We did an interview together. We're going to have a landing page. And that's really what I do now is I try to find avenues to monetize the brand. That's my big thing now.
Yeah.
Just bringing on side hustle, passive income, with the idea being that eventually these will become the full-time job. And I've been in this game long enough now, 10 years, to like, I can be patient. Like I had no idea what I was doing 10 years ago. Really don't have an idea what I'm doing now, 10 years
it
later.
It changes all the time, right?
I know what not to do.
Yeah.
I know what won't work.
I got to tell you, I picked up a tip from you from Instagram. I actually used it on a post that I posted right from here today. And what I like that you do, so one, your content is awesome on Instagram, and you have done very well in leveraging and monetizing your voice because that's part of it. I love your photo that has the microphone with the like fire or something at the end. But one of the things that you do that I picked up that I actually used on my post today was, even though I'm looking at your post, I'm already following you, but I'm looking at your post, you suggest people to follow you.
Yes.
Like, I used that today, and I got that from you, so I wanted to let you know that I picked that up. I'll see what it turns into, but I picked that up from you.
That's awesome, and I actually changed that this week. And what it is I'm really big on data, so I like to use data to drive my business decisions because I'm an auditor, and I used to just always be frustrated. I used to call people, social media rich and bank account broke, because I would be talking to them. They're like, I got 1.5 million followers. I'm like, oh, how much money do you make? They're like, oh, $2. And I'm like, why aren't you monetizing this? And so I'm looking at the data, and I started just monitoring posts that The post itself, because you can boost posts on mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook, and I do that as well, but I look at which post organically does well. Mm-hmm. Like, if I just post it, it does well. And I tell people, like, I got 8,000 followers, but I still have posted flop to this day. I dropped a post last week. I think I got 5 likes. I was like, damn, the street's not feeling me no more. You know, like, it hurts. You know, you gotta fight through that. You know, but Instagram has a feature, and I covered this in my course. You can archive posts. Okay. So when you archive a post, the difference being is that Instagram will still use that data because the algorithm is always running in the background. Someone joked earlier, actually he worked for Facebook before. He's like, the biggest thing that you're fighting on Facebook and Instagram is Facebook and Instagram. Mm. You're always trying to beat the algorithm, and the algorithm's always changing. And so I'll see how posts do, and then I'll try to recreate that magic in post after post. Okay. But now I've been doing it for 10 years, so it's pretty simple to understand which works. And so I was looking at my my signature. I'm always changing my signature. Mm. And so I was like, okay, I dropped a post, and a lot of people followed. And I'm like, what was different between these two posts? Because, you know, I'm talking about personal mm-hmm. finance. At the end of the day, it's spend less than yep. you earn, or earn more than you spend. Yep. I try to earn more than I spend because I'm a natural spender. And the only difference was, in one, I have a call to action. And mm-hmm. I said, follow me, mm-hmm. follow at the Marcus Garrett yes. in the post, and people followed. And I was like, oh, why don't I just put a call to action under each post? Because like you're saying, well, most people aren't going to read the description, but for that 10 or 12 people that do, I can get 10 or 12 new followers without paying for it.
Yes, yes. And I like I said, I was like, let me try this and yeah. see if it works. So we'll see what happens. So you've said a few times about the course, and I know, you know, we're here at FinCon, and what we do is we're content creators relative to finance. And now you have courses. So yes. talk to us about, you know, why you decided to go into courses and what people can learn within your course. And obviously, we're going to talk about how they can find it.
Yeah. So I said I was going to drop it earlier. So I'll start with the freebies because uh-huh. the courses are paid. So the freebie is themarcusgarrett.com/debt-free. Again, that's themarcusgarrett.com/debt-free. I'll send you a free chapter from the book, which covers that plan that I talked about, the 4-step plan to get nice. Out of debt. And my most popular article that I wrote about 6 years ago now is how much debt can you afford on a $30,000, $50,000, or $100,000 salary? So I give that to people free, okay. themarcusgarrett.com/debt-free. I start there because people are like, oh, this scammer, you know, it was all good until you started trying to sell me on stuff. But now I host through Thinkific, and I've been working with them since 2018, and I have 4 courses, which I'm, you know, like you said, I'm always evolving. You always have to stay evolving. And I was like, I don't know if I want to continue that, but right now I have a debt-free course, which is basically a video course covering the book, because some people just like to take it in a different yes. medium. That also gets you invited to a community that I have. I have 3,000, a little over 3,000 people in my community newsletter. So every week I just email tips for free. So you can join it for free, or you can join it through the course. And then I have a increase your income course. So as part of that strategy that we talked about earlier, where I negotiated my salary for 40%, I've actually increased my salary 400% since college. And that story, less the $10,000 that I ooscrayed myself out of, I was like, okay, again, looking at the data, I need to start negotiating my salary. That's the key to monetary success. Yes. And then as I saw there that my salary is not going to be enough for me, not mm-hmm. for the lifestyle that I like to live. I like to earn more than I spend, rather than spend less than I earn. So I was like, okay, let me start looking into passive income. And so now I have an increase your passive income course. And I basically just share strategies like I'm doing here. Like yeah. these are strategies that work. Yeah. Like this made me money yesterday, not yeah. like in theory, not like the call to action for the Instagram post. This worked for me yesterday. Yeah. And when you take that course, you get the exact, I use a lot of hashtags and I use a lot of data to make my decision. You get that exact access mm-hmm. immediately when you join that course. And then another one that I have is Life After Debt. And that came from, you know, it's a spinoff, a continuation from Debt Free or Die Trying. Okay. And what I started to see out there 10 years later, and really even for myself, is like, okay, even I see it a lot in the personal finance community, is it's almost like debt is perpetual mm. And perpetuity. And I was like, debt should come to an end.
Yeah.
You know, there should be life after debt.
Yeah.
And so that course I plan to build into, okay, what do we do next? Retirement, investing, and really enjoying our money. How do you get to that
yes.
point? I think it's ultimately going to be a bundled course. And what I think folks should hear is, someone asked me earlier, like, what's the plan with the platform? And I mean, you know, it makes sense because we're here at FinCon. I really don't have a plan for the platform. I just had Tanya Rapley on the show from MyFab yes. Finance. And she said something that really resonated with me. She's always saying something that really resonated with me, by the way. She's awesome. Please
yes,
follow
she
her.
Is.
But she said something like, just execute.
Mm.
So my focus for 2022 going into the end of this year is, I'm just going to execute And the theme I have seen through that is good things happen when I say I'm going to deliver on this and then I execute on it.
Yes.
The brands and the money come. Like, for example, with the Thinkific partnership, if I had come, actually I did. I think I begged them in 2018. Can I be a partner or an affiliate? And they were like, nah. Because I had like 1,900 followers. They're like, who is this guy? So now at 8,000, they're like, yeah, this guy has demonstrated and executed that he can deliver on his calls to action. Yeah. And focus, I believe I learned at their workshop. And so it all came full circle.
Yes.
So for the people out there, whether it's the FinCon audience or yours, I'd say if you don't know what to do next, I'd say your first step is to start executing.
Mm.
Whether that's getting out of debt, whether that's building a business, I would say your call to action is to get started.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you said that. And that's, you know, coming to this conference, I sometimes tell folks, like, you can come to this conference, spend a few days, but if you don't execute on anything, like, you just came to chill, right?
Yep.
If you're not going to do anything, take anything. And sometimes people are overwhelmed. So at least start with, to your point, with one thing and actually execute on it and do that well. So love that. So themarcusgarrett.com, is that where everybody can find you? Like, is that where your podcast is as well? Or
yes.
Is it a different name? Okay, so can you go ahead and tell... I was going to ask you to share one tip, but I think you gave that already in the execution, right? Is there anything else that you want to share? Because this is what I want. Maybe you can answer this question.
Okay.
There are people that are my followers that will listen to this and say, well, that's great that you were able to do it and that you're going to give me that you're going to give them free things that they can actually follow. What I love about your story is these are things you actually did, not
yes.
just learned, not just, you know, were certified to be able to tell people you actually did those things. If they had to listen and they're saying, okay, I'm finally going to execute, what would be the one thing that you would suggest they execute to get out of that?
So the podcast, they can find me wherever they're listening to this right now, then scoot over to The Marcus Garrett Show. And I'm universally branded, like you said, under The Marcus Garrett at themarcusgarrett.com. That has everything that they need to find. As far as the one thing that I think folks should do, I'm going to go back to get started.
Mm.
And I say that because, you know, not to call anybody out, there are people listening to this podcast. You said earlier in this podcast, get a pen and paper. There's people that didn't pick up a pen and paper.
<You're right>.
There's people who are going to move on to this next podcast and they're going to listen to your next show. And that's all good and great. But if you want to make a change, you have to get started. And what I would say is to get started on the thing that is passionate and motivating to you.
Mm.
I think one thing that I did well is I'm going to start a brand at The Marcus Garrett Show. This is what I said to Tanya. It's called The Marcus Garrett Show. But the tagline is interviews with your favorite influencers and entrepreneurs. Because I'm more interested in other people's story. I've been telling my story for 10 years. I know my story. I'm exhausted. But I really wanted to create a platform where I could highlight other influencers.
Yes.
And really, I was talking to somebody else earlier. She said she interviews millionaires, but she uses it as an excuse to get vacations and go interview these millionaires. I get flown all over the country to go talk to these millionaires. I was like, dang, I should have gone that route. But really, I'm just interested in like what motivates these influencers and entrepreneurs. And that it's easy for me to do. Like somebody's like, oh, how do you produce all that content for Instagram? Like I said, maybe it's a talent because I don't find it that difficult, but I'm passionate about
it.
I would do it for free, but I'm also looking to get paid for it. And so find that thing that you can monetize if that's of interest to you. One thing that the missus, the fiance, future wife has taught me is like everyone's not driven by money.
Yes.
I was like, what?
They talked about it at the, you know, Rich and Regular talked about that earlier. Yeah, because
we
love it, live it and breathe it. Yes, exactly right. So meet that intersection. I liked how they brought that in. So they're absolutely right.
So I guess my final call to action with that in mind is to execute on the thing that drives you.
Mm.
And I really think from the pandemic, I've said that the markets that went into the pandemic will come out, different markets came out, is execute on the thing that drives you and life gets easier.
Yes.
And if money is of interest to you, money actually has come more naturally through that because people like, they see I'm passionate, they see I'm excited, they see the content I produce, and it's really easy to do so because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I love it. Marcus, thank you so much for being on the Marcus, for being on the Money Exchange. I really enjoyed having you on and you sharing with the listeners how they could do what you did, and that's get out of debt and or die trying.
I love that.
So make sure you check out his book, make sure you check out his courses, and then follow the show notes so that you can get the all this stuff that he said that he will share with us. So again, this is Petrina Dixon of the Money Exchange. Thanks to NEFE.org, the National Endowment for Financial Education, for sponsoring live podcasting here at FinCon 21. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Money Exchange Podcast. Not sure how you found us, but if you haven't subscribed, please do so. That really helps in that you'll be notified each time a new episode airs. We are available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and I'm really excited to say we're also available on Pandora. So search for The Money Exchange and hit that subscribe button, and please share with your friends. And if you enjoy an episode that you've heard, please hit the little heart or leave a comment and let us know your thoughts. Thank you so much for listening.